All right, everybody, y'all come on in. This is anyone who wants coaching on any regains you might have had. So let me get all my screens set up. If you want coaching, you're going to need to raise your hand so I can see who needs help. All right, we got two already. Betty, you're coming on first. We're going in fast and furious today. Corinne, please, someone, I know we have many awesome, responsible adults in this room. Me not being one of them. Make sure that I'm off here at 1:45. I have to be off at 1:45 today because I have another call after this, and I just need to be able to reset real quick. All right, what are we coaching on?
Hi.
Or
Can you
how can
hear
I help?
me? You can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Perfect. So I had a regain, lost my weight after I rejoined 2022 to 2023. And I've been spending the last 2 years, first year, it was a gradual gain. And in the last year, I've regained all my weight. And the story that's in my head is that it was so hard to do. But all while I was on the downward trajectory when I was losing my weight, I was like, oh, I love my life. I love the way I'm losing. I love that I get to eat anything I want. And somehow I'm looking at it. So as I was going down, I felt really good about everything. And now, as I'm looking at it on the other end, trying to get back to the weight loss, I'm making it difficult.
What was hard about it? Let's figure out what parts were actually hard that your brain is either afraid of or it thinks you're going to have to do this time that's different. Because there's something that was hard. It might not have felt hard then, but to your mind right now, to lose the next 20, it feels like now this time it could be hard. So let's just figure out what that is.
The time that it took, I had to practice a lot of patience while I was doing it. And then also just the having to do the day-to-day, paying attention to hunger and enough. And
So,
just
how
having
much time did all that take?
the first go around
Yeah.
or
So, when you say the time it took, the first thing you said was paying attention to hunger and enough. Let's put a time on it. How long does it take?
well, that doesn't take long.
Oh.
I'm talking about the time that it took to lose my 40 plus pounds. Like it was over a lot of months. And
How many
so
months?
probably 6.
Okay, so with 20, we're looking at 3 months.
Okay.
Is that true or not? If you took 6 to lose 40, it would take 3 to lose 20. I'm just doing math at this point. If I'm wrong, just tell me I'm wrong.
So in 3 months, it will be November, December, January. So it will be well after Christmas to get down 20 pounds. If looking at it, it still feels like a long time because I want to
Okay.
be back.
Yeah, everybody does.
Yeah.
But that's impossible. So that's just where, in those moments when we are, how long have you been thinking about losing these 20 pounds?
Well, a long time, like because I regained 40.
Okay, so you regained 40, but
So
I think you said you wanted to lose 20, correct?
I want to lose all of it back. I want to
Oh, you
lose
want to
all of
lose 40. Okay. So 6 months would be November, December, January, February, March, April, right in time for summer. So by April, you could have all your weight back off. And how long have you been thinking, planning, wishing, and not doing anything to lose the 40 pounds?
The whole time that I was regaining it.
Okay. So over 2 years.
Yes.
Oh, so that's the long time.
Yes. That
That's
was.
why it, Like, I want to ask you this or tell you this. It feels like it's going to be a long time because you've been taking a long time to get started.
Yes.
Really hear me when I say this. Tell me how that feels.
It
It's
feels really,
taking, it feels what?
it actually feels really good. Because it almost takes some pressure off, like the actual doing of it will be quick once I start doing it, if I quit spinning my wheels and thinking about it.
It'll feel really good in 6 months, or in 6 months, I can now be 2.5 years into wanting to get started, which is, if I had to guess, frustrating,
Very.
not fun, makes you feel impatient.
Yes.
Yeah. So we can either start and feel impatient to get to the end, or we can sit and do nothing and feel impatient to get to the end.
Okay, yes,
Get
because
to
there is.
feel impatient no matter what. One just gives us a payoff. This one gives us a payoff of what? Because there's a reason why you're not starting. And it's doing something for you. What is not starting allowing you to do, or allowing you to feel?
Like it's allowing me to just eat whatever I want, do all my old stuff, like the candy challenge. I'm not even doing it because I'm like, well, if I do the candy challenge, I won't be eating all the candy that I want. Because right now I can just eat whatever I want. I can have all of the candy I want.
So you get freedom by not starting. That's why it's so juicy.
Yes. But there was so much freedom when I had lost that weight. I felt so free. It's so nice to go into that closet and not worry if whatever I put on is gonna pinch me. And
That's an amazing realization that you need to, the part of you that doesn't want to start, like literally right now, to say like, hey, I just want to let you know, eating whatever I want has freedom, and it comes with restriction on this side, and starting allows freedom for these things, but I'll probably feel restricted right now, even though I'm not.
Okay.
Unless you feel like the only way to do it is to feel restricted, because the opposite of freedom is restriction.
Right. So when I was down the 40 and I was looking at losing my last like 10 or 15 pounds, I was starting to feel restricted. And
Okay.
I don't like that feel. Like I didn't like it. I felt like there's an amount of hunger that I always have to feel.
Did you do it with me?
I did it with you. Yes.
Why were you ever that hungry?
I think it wasn't. So thinking back, it may not have actually been hunger. It would be more not feeling full. Something I didn't like the feeling of not being full. I think I had had enough overeats that kind of came back, and I was like, oh yeah, I like that feeling.
Why do you like that feeling, you think? Because we want to clear that up. Because if you really like the feeling of being overly full, then we have to decide, do I prefer being overly full, or do I prefer walking into my closet and thing and me not being overly full in my clothes?
Right.
So let's figure out what is the allure and what is being overly full doing for you.
I don't know. The word that comes to my mind is safety, and I don't
Okay,
know what
that's good
that.
to know. Safety is probably it. If that's the word that comes to mind, it's creating some safety from what?
starving, which I wasn't.
Okay.
Don't know.
Go to right now. You're probably, are you eating to full and past full now? Because you have all this, like, you're not really doing the program. Okay. Did you do it last night?
Stop at enough,
Huh?
or do you
Let's
mean
just,
stop at?
I'm just trying to find the most recent meal that I can find where you ate to a level where you're like, and this is safety. Like, this feels so good. I love this feeling. I want to just find that meal so we can kind of dissect it.
Well, yesterday I stopped at enough all day. I was preparing to talk to you this weekend, and so I was just kind of paying attention. Which
Did you feel
yesterday
less
was
free? Did
great.
you feel, let me ask you this. Did you feel restricted this weekend when you just decided to get back on, like, back onto my plan?
No, I had you
Did
in my head, and yeah, it. I did not
you
feel
feel
restricted.
safe?
Yes.
Did feel safe this weekend doing it?
I did.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think your brain says we're safe when we're overly full, and then when you did this, you're like, wait a minute, I actually feel safe eating to enough.
I don't know because I'm thinking back to the last time I overate. It was either Thursday or Friday. And I way past enough and I hated what I felt like. It was hard to sleep.
After, but what did it give you? Like, I want you to think about this. We got to get to the moment where you were taking the last bite and you weren't hating, you were completing something that felt good. And what would that might be?
It's I get to have this because I ordered Chinese food, and that's one of the things I will overeat. It's just this, like it's really good, and I get to have this. It's more of a, I don't know, maybe it's just like not thinking about anything except what I'm eating.
Oh, what would you be thinking if you weren't eating? Like, what are the, and I don't mean about the food, but if we're stopping at enough, what thinking has to come back? Because a lot of times when we eat and we want to eat past enough, when a lot of times for a lot of people, eating past enough means this is the first time of the day, or this is a period, this is when I finally get to turn off these thoughts for a while. And I don't have to have them while I'm eating, but when I stop eating, these thoughts come back unless I've overate. And if I overate, then I get to feel miserable about my body, but I ain't gotta feel miserable about that. I don't have to feel stressed about that. I don't have to think about that. So we trade feeling like shit and beating ourselves up because that's better than the stress and pressure of whatever was going on before. Which could be happening, but like just, I just want you to imagine, well, when I eat and I say, I get to turn off my thinking. And you even smiled when you said it. It's like giddy, exciting. That's why we want to do it. 'Cause like whatever you're doing feels really good. It's not the food that feels good, it's that part that feels so good. What do you think that is?
Well, two things I'm thinking of is just that I get really bored with my life. I'm in my 50s. Don't like what I look like. In fact, at this weight, I don't even think I look like myself. And like don't really go out and do fun things anymore. I just go to work, go home and sleep. And in between that, I sit in front of the TV and have my whatever I'm having, snacks, meals.
So food is allowing you to have pleasure that's now missing.
Yes.
That's why you're eating fast enough. That's why it feels unsafe to let it go.
Okay.
I want you to think about this. When you tell me that I'm bored with my life, I don't like myself, all and there's probably judgment that's coming in because you talked about your body. The food is creating safety from all of that. It's like, I don't want you to have to do that. I don't want you to have to be miserable. And you deserve, like, everybody deserves happiness. And underneath, we all know that. There's no way to tell your brain you don't deserve happiness. A lot of us think we think that. And the way we know that somewhere in deep inside of us thinks we deserve happiness is if we're overeating. To get happiness, that means something in us says you deserve happiness. So for all you either fixing to post, I don't deserve happiness. Y'all are butt fucking liars. I'm telling you right now. Trust me on this. So for you though, that is a powerful reason. So your overeating is not a mystery. You're not going to just be able to stop it enough. Because when you stop it enough, for you, that means that part of my life has to come back. If I give up my snacks, all of that that I think about my life, that gets to come back into the room. And I want to shut that off. And when I'm at work, you're probably not thinking about it much. Like a lot of people, the reason why they don't overeat at work is because you're busy. You have something shutting it all off. You come home and you're like in your 50s. You're not as busy as you used to be. It's kind of like, well, there's food and there's TV. And so we're creating the joy, we're creating the pleasure, we're also creating distraction from the real problem. So, what do you think you need to do? Because it ain't going to be stopping it enough. Don't tell me lose weight. Lose weight's not going to make you happy. You're going to be thin on the couch, miserable. We don't change the life
You
or
are
our
right.
attitude about it. Go ahead.
Well, that was I just had a flashback to some of the overeating I would do when I was getting close to goal. And I would sit, I would have my wine, and I would be expecting my husband to join me and we're gonna have a nice time. And he wouldn't join me, and I would get really mad and I'd just start overeating. I mean, I looked better, I felt better, all the stuff, and I would get just miserable because my night didn't go as I had planned, and I would overeat over it.
Yeah, losing weight doesn't make people change, other people change their behaviors. Changes our ass. Our behaviors might change, but other people don't be like, oh my God, you're 40 pounds less. Now I'm a communicator. Now I'm a joiner. I've decided I like your hobbies now. Like, no one does that. And we expect, like, we're thinking, like, oh my God, when I'm hot and sexy, like, this man is gonna be up this ass. He's gonna be able to not keep his hands off me. He's everything. I'm like, I'm one of the sexiest bitches around. And I'm begging my husband to give it to me twice a week. He just wants to go to bed. So, what do you think needs to happen in your life so that it gets where now food isn't the distraction and food isn't the pleasure that it once was? We can still eat good foods. We just don't have to eat too much of it to get what we want.
I think one of them would be like coming home from work. I would cook. I would make some because I kind of considered myself a foodie. Like I made good stuff and I felt so free because I was eating it too enough and all that. And now I've kind of let the old habits come back where I just grab the bag of chips and the box of Little Debbie's and I just plop my ass down and start having snacks after work. So I think I just have to see the joy again in making what I like and knowing, oh, I get to enjoy this.
And what do you think is stopping you from seeing it right now?
Just I think how I feel, like I'm carrying this body around all day, and anytime I look in a mirror, I have to see it. And so
But what is keeping you from enjoying you in the body you have right now? You keep trying. I want to show you what your brain keeps trying to do. Your brain keeps trying to say, we don't get to enjoy things until we're thinner again. And the problem is right now you're not enjoying things. And so you keep eating to have joy. How do we get there if we can't find joy now? Because the only reason why you're eating is joy. So we got to replace joy. We can't just lose, like you've already tried to lose weight and expect it to make a joyful life. And that didn't happen because you didn't teach yourself how to find real joy. You taught yourself how to diet to
Yes.
find joy. We're not going to
Yeah.
diet to find joy. We're going to find joy so that losing weight becomes easier and permanent.
Yes.
So what's stop like let's take your body as it is right now with the 40 pounds regained. What stops you from enjoying you now?
Like mirrors, like
No. Wait, all right, let me ask it to you this way. When you stand in front of a mirror and you look at your body, what's stopping you from finding some joy? What's in between? Because there is joy waiting for you. You just won't go to it.
just the judgment.
It's my judgment. My judgment is stopping me from having joy. And so if I don't nurture my judgment, I have to get my joy with the food. So let's take the judgment. We're not going to do thought switches. With when you are in this state, trying to come up with better thoughts never works. It's going
Because
to
it
feel fake.
doesn't.
Going to feel like, nope, you don't understand. It's just a fact that this 50-year-old, 40-pound overweight body doesn't deserve any love. Fact, I should probably be hard on it so that I get that weight off. Okay. So now we're going to talk to judgment. Are you up for talking to judgment where you have to close your eyes and we're going to like imagine it? If you're not, we can go a different route.
I mean, I probably will be. If I close my eyes, I won't have to look at myself trying to
You
avoid.
don't have to, we're not looking at your body. We're going to look at your judgment. We're going to look at the feeling of judgment. I'm not going to make you strip down and take a big hard look and talk to yourself. Even I'm not that mean. Okay. So close your eyes and just put your feet on the floor so that, and just kind of notice that you're sitting in a chair, your feet are on the floor. And that you are supported right now. You have me supporting you. You've got your chair. You've got the ground. You have these beautiful women who are here. We're all here to support you through this. And I want you to think about judgment like it's an inanimate object, not as a bunch of words and stuff. Is there anything that you're picturing or imagining as this represents the judgmental thoughts I have about myself that you could describe to me?
It's just a hard, sturdy, like bossy thing.
Okay, what color is it?
Black.
Okay, so we have this hard, steady, or sturdy black thing. Any other descriptions?
It's kind of boulder-like. Maybe that's hard and sturdy, dark.
Yeah, like a big rock, like a boulder. Okay, perfect. That is really good. Okay, so we're just going to see our rock. It's black and it's sturdy. And I want you to imagine walking up to it. And you're just looking at it. And I want you to ask it, why are you here for me?
So it's kind of like you need to understand, to me, that you need to understand people aren't going to like you when you look like this. They're not going to take you seriously. They think they look down on you.
Okay, that's all good. So people won't like you. They're going to be down on you. Anything else it wants to say?
Like just like you need to hide type of a
Okay.
feeling.
You need to hide.
Keep you hidden.
Let's ask it. Why should I hide? Why do you think I need to be hiding?
It's back to people aren't gonna like you.
And what does hiding do? How does that help?
Makes me be unnoticed. Where like people don't see me and look at me and judge me and misunderstand me.
So you won't be misunderstood. You won't have to be judged. And what does that do for us when people can't see us, when they can't judge us? What's that doing for me?
Keeps me safe from the judgment and the hate and the misunderstanding.
And who are these people that we're so worried about?
Just anybody.
That's good to know. Anybody? So, no one in particular, just people in general?
Yes. Yes, because I feel judged by anybody that looks at me that knows me, or people that don't know me. It's like, oh, here's, look at that fat slob. She's just an old fat lady. Yeah.
So let's tell your rock, I really appreciate you've been trying to keep me safe. This is stuff I can see why you would keep me safe. This feels like a lot. What does the rock have to say when you tell it that?
A little yielding. So before it was more like hands on the hips, and now the hands are down.
Oh, it's loosening up. That's so good. So he's feeling a little guilty, but he's loosening, relaxing a little. What do you want to tell the rock about feeling guilty?
It's that you've been working really hard at this for a long time. Why don't you go take a nap?
When you say that to your rock, now what does the rock do or say to you when
Just
you
has
say what?
just it's kind of like hesitant, like, are you sure about that?
And what do you want to tell it about its uncertainty, its desire to want to keep protecting you?
Kind of that, don't go away because I might need your protection again.
That's so good. How does the rock feel knowing you don't want it to go away? You appreciate the protection it's been given you, that if you ever need it, you'll call on it.
Yeah, it feels more like a partnership.
A partnership.
Yeah.
Now, what does the rock say? Or what is it changing or doing anything you notice?
No, just that the rock has been there my whole life, and there has been a lot of protection, has brought me a lot of protection over the years.
A lot of protection. It's been there by your side this whole time. Is there anything else you would like to tell the rock before we end about it being there your entire life, about its protection?
Well, the rock protected me when I was a kid. I was very shy, and I did a lot of hiding, and it protected me from bullying. And I'm happy with that. But I think I probably would have believed in myself more throughout life if I hadn't relied on the hiding so much.
Okay. So maybe we tell the rock, you did so much for me. I wouldn't be here today without you. But I also know I'm ready to protect us. Do you feel ready to protect us? To give the rock a break sometimes, where it doesn't have to be doing it all the time.
I'm not sure.
Oh, that's good. We don't know. So, what would you like to tell them? I think one thing you said that was so good was that I might still need you. We're going to be in partnership now. And I might try protecting us to see how it goes. But I know I can rely on you if I need you. How does that feel to you in the rock?
Better. I think as far as my weight, maybe the rock should look for other ways to protect me and let me handle this right now.
Let's ask the rock. Are there other ways that I could protect myself that I might not know because you've been doing the work?
So it feels like needing to do nicer things for myself and to myself, but it feels like that might be challenging for me.
Okay. That's good to know that the rock thinks that you should do nicer things for yourself. It thinks that it could be challenging for you. So, Mr. Rock, how could I be there for myself when it is challenging?
I think it's more just trusting myself instead of hiding. Like hiding with like the TV, snacking instead of just trusting that the process is working.
And what would trust look like if we watched it?
I guess patience.
And what would that look like if you were coming home? Ask the rock, I'm going to come home. It's going to be after work. And I'm going to feel like little Debbie's and Chips are a way to protect myself. How could I be there for myself when it's hard for you and me?
And like you could say not a I don't know.
It's okay if you don't know. Why don't we do this? Tell the rock, Crin's going to help me with how to be there for myself. And it's going to help both of us. And I'm going to try it. And you get to tell me if you're scared. You get to tell me anything you want. even if your best is to judge me in the moment, I'm going to know that's actually you talking. That it's okay if you only can use the language you know, which is sounds judgmental, but I'm going to know that it's the version of you who cares so much about me and my safety that you're talking. And I'm going to listen now. How does the rock feel about that?
It's fine. We're partners.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell it before we leave? Do you want to thank it? Do you want to give it a hug?
Yeah, I
Anything?
would like it.
You get to do
It
anything.
all for a lot of years.
And I love that you took a big deep breath. That must have felt good.
It did.
Our body always shows when we feel better. Okay. So this is really good. I just want you to see how much deeper we went and figured out what was really going on for you when we stopped talking about like how to stop it enough. Okay. So one thing that you can do is when you come home and you sit on the couch, is you can be very prepared that the rock is going to speak up. It's still going to want little Debbies. It's still going to ask for chips. And then that's when you can go in and you can notice. And this is where you can tell yourself, I notice the rock is speaking to me. I notice my judgment is entering the room. I notice that I'm wanting to eat like I always do, and that is okay. It's all about safety. I need to feel safe that it's okay to do what I want to do in this moment. I need to know that it's safe in my body. And this is just judgment. And it takes time to get used to talking to myself in new ways. That's how we do it. And it's going to feel weird. It's going to feel sometimes hard because we're not used to being kind and gentle and nurturing with ourselves. We're just used to shutting off judgment with food. So we're not used to a soft place. We're used to nothing or everything. And we're coming to the middle now. And the middle is where we want to get good at. And so even when you are looking at yourself in the mirror and the voice comes up, it's like, this is the rock. It thinks if I'm hard on my body, it knows how much I would love to lose weight. It thinks to get there is to make this not okay. And I don't have to like my size. I don't, I can not like something and change. I don't have to hate it to change anymore. And that's what we want to do. We just want to get to where for you, it's like we've got a dial and we're just turning the dial down to where we get more into the lane of like a little bit of not liking things. But with enough freedom to have compassion and understanding so that you can do new things. Because you told me earlier, you just want some freedom. This is freedom. Compassion, understanding, and nurturing and listening to yourself. So that feels free. That's what gets you to, closet freedom. It gets you all these things on this side. But if we don't do this part, then the emergency in the room of having no pleasure and joy in your life will always win because it's a bigger emergency than you losing 40 pounds over the next 6 months. That's not an emergency. Not in the moment. when judgment has entered the room with no compassion, no letting it have its say, no understanding why it's here. So, anything you want to ask me or tell me before I leave you? You get to say goodbye to me too.
Can't wait to watch the replay because you said a lot of things that I wanted to write down that I didn't want to take time to write down. So, thank you for that. And I feel like I'd like to join in on the candy challenge now because I think, yeah. I just want to get more info.
You think what? I'm very curious.
Okay, so the fall that I was really losing weight, I started planning and I would allow myself a like one of those little Snickers, every day. And I looked forward to it and I really enjoyed it because I only had one. And that was just a flashback I had. And I was really on, like, I lost a lot of weight between Halloween and Christmas. That's when I lost the majority of my weight. And it was because I was allowing myself those little
Some
things.
joy, some little
Yes.
hits of joy instead of giving yourself no joy.
Yes, because eating all the snacks I want is not giving it to me. But I had a lot of it then. So, yeah.
Perfect. I
Thank
love
you.
it. Yeah, I love
You.
it.
Thank
All
you.
right. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, this damn mouse always cuts itself off. I have this Bluetooth mouse, y'all, and it for fuck, it just like has like a timeout that is not very long. Dawn Dreyer. We have a lot of people with their hands raised. Don't know what happened this Sunday. Y'all come in here and I beg y'all every week to raise your hands. And today I have had a record amount of hand raises for this year outside of if I do a workshop. Like, oh my God, I love it. I'm not complaining at all, but I'm just like, I'm almost stunned. All right. What are we coaching on, Dawn?
I just want to say thank you to Betty. That was amazing. And just that conversation. Ah, very, very moving. So I lost about 70 pounds. And I planned, but this was when the planner was 2 pages, and I was like really into all the questions. You know what I mean? Like I love to process and journal and that kind of thing. But I didn't do a lot of planning with food. And then I maintained for like 18 months in Wonderland. And that just felt like a miracle, like just a miracle. And then I decided I wanted to lose more weight. And I
Okay.
immediately gained 10, 15 pounds,
When
which,
you wanted to lose weight. Okay.
yes. And I kind of, well, I think I really struggle with success. Like, I struggle with making a plan because it's like the intensity of my desire and longing for something immediately comes up against, you're gonna fuck this up. You know? And so I hesitate to like say, I'm sorry, my dog picks this moment to start barking.
We can't hear
You
it. We
can't,
can't
great,
hear
then I'll
it,
let it
though.
go. Yeah, I just really struggle with that. And like you've talked about this idea of like healthy disappointment before. And I really want to be able to do that. Like I want to be able to go like okay, I'm really functionally fit. I chase kids all day long. Like I feel so good about my fitness, but like I want to be like an endurance athlete. Like I want to be able to run far. I want to lift weights. I think, but I
What are you afraid of if you were to do that? I want you to think about this. You've given me three things. You want to lose a little more weight, I assume. Okay. And
Yes,
you
I
want to be an
yeah.
endurance athlete and you want to lift heavy weights.
Yes.
So what are you afraid of if you do those things?
I think it's more like a step before that. Like I'm afraid to like make the plan that would allow me to do those things
Because
because I'm pretty sure I'm gonna fuck it up. Now, it's okay if I fuck it up because you teach us to be curious about our, like when we make a
but let me
plan.
ask you, for you, is it okay if you fuck it up? I teach one thing, but are you struggling with that? Because you've said it twice now.
Which one? Which part?
I'll fuck it up. If we're
Yeah.
not, if like, this is what I'm wondering. It's fine that your brain says that.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I try something new, my brain always tells me it won't work. My flavor is always that won't work, that won't work. Hey, did you know that's not going to work? Hey, one more time, that's not going to work. That's my
Yeah.
flavor of you'll fuck it up. Mine is just like there's just these magical reasons in the world as to why anything you would like to do would never work. So let's take I'll fuck it up. It's only a problem to think that if on the other side of I'll fuck it up is like negative thinking.
Yeah, I think what's on the other side of I fuck it up is I get like it's just really hard for me to figure out what the next step should be. Like I
It's
feel like
not
I
hard. Right
it's
now, the
not.
plan is the next step. That's not hard. You can go on Google right now and type in heavy strength training workout for women, X amount of days I want to do it, and it'll spit one out for you. So it's not hard. Same thing with endurance. What do you want to do? How far you want to run?
Well, I
Whatever
just,
you want.
to be honest, it's more that I want like consistency in running. Does that make sense? Like, I just want to be consistent and I'll do whatever. Like, I've taken the Jill Angie course. Like, I have bad knees, so losing weight and running are tied for me, you know, but I can run a 5K. Well, on a, you know, I walk run, it's fine. Gosh, I feel
So
like I'm
what are you
not.
afraid of? We're not afraid
Okay,
of
I'm
fucking it
afraid
up.
that I won't be consistent. I'm afraid if I do it once, I won't do it again. I'm a.
So why don't we just see if you are or not? Why do we have to? Maybe you won't be consistent. We won't know unless you try. So why are we not just doing it? What is on the other side of I'll fuck it up? I'll fuck it up means this.
Okay, this is funny that. Okay, I'm sorry if I'm avoiding the question, but I did this thing where I weighed myself every day, and I noticed because I wanted to figure out what the story was in my head about the scale, and on the days that the scale went down, it was scarier for me than on the days where it stayed the same or went up. Like,
That's normal. But I mean,
that's
that's
normal.
very normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for someone who thinks they're going to fuck it up.
Right. That was the
If
fear.
you think I'll fuck it up is just what's going to happen, any success now triggers more fear.
Yes.
So we have to work through why is fucking it up so bad for you? It's like, so what if you fuck it up? What happens if you fuck up?
I mean, I'm disappointed in myself.
And what does disappointment in yourself look like?
Right. What's disappointment in myself look like? It looks like I stop. I just come to a halt, kind of.
Okay, so
Like
that's
from
good to
my
know.
from a nervous system perspective, like I just go into shutdown
Okay,
mode.
that's
I'm
why
really
we're
working
scared.
against that. Yeah. What?
Okay, well I said that's why like if you're I want you to think about what we just said. We have what we call incongruence. I really want this and I want to be committed, like or consistency. But I believe that when you fuck up, it's time to dead stop because I'm having some kind of nervous system reaction, which means why bother starting? Because you can't get consistent if your automatic response is stopping. So your brain is actually doing a very good thing. It's saying, I know that consistency is a part of this, but your nervous system shuts us down. So I don't think we should start something because you haven't figured out how to deal with fuck ups just yet. And when we figure out how we deal with fuck ups, it's like, for me, I would be telling myself, of course I'll fuck up. That's supposed to happen.
Right.
But I get it from you, and I don't know, you tell me. Logically, I do not want you to answer this question.
Okay.
I want you to emotionally answer this question. So, logic is everything Corinne's taught you. Messing up is a part of the process. But emotionally, fucking up for you is what?
I'm just going to say what's in my head. Death.
That's fine.
It's proof that like I haven't gotten any better. Like I dealt with severe mental illness for a long time, and I'm doing like that was like a decade ago. Like, but it was for a
Yes.
couple decades.
Yes.
And I don't think I disappoint anybody in my life, you know? Like I have a I'm really loved and but I do think that, yeah, I think I'm just so scared that nothing, things haven't changed. And I have,
That is,
I want things so badly, Corinne. I want things really badly, you
you
know?
have no, like, you have no issues with want and desire.
No.
Most people don't. I mean, there's not a soul in here. I just have a hard time believing that people pay me $59 a month because they don't want it bad enough.
Right.
We all want it really bad, but the issue comes for you in particular. You have a very scary thing. I want this really bad, but I equate fucking up to my mental illness coming back.
Yeah.
So I want you to see your brain is doing you the ultimate solid ever. It thinks it is. It is in hot damn protection mode. Like, you can't do these things. We can't have this happen again. And so the bridge is the nervous system. This is why you're freezing and shutting down. Because anytime there's something scary, your brain's job is to figure out, like, how do I fix this? How do I escape this? How do I stop this? Like, what should I do? We all have a reaction. Some people react through shutting down, dead stopping. Some people get paralyzed. It's like they don't just stop something. They just kind of, it's like they get frozen and they're just kind of there, but they're not really there. And then some of us fight really hard. I'm a fighter. So my nervous system kicks into gear and it goes sky high and usually burns me to the ground. Like I try to outwork fear. Some people run from fear. And some people just stand still in the face of fear. And all of that's fine because it's just a fear response. So for you, we got to get better at talking to our fear before we worry about consistency and big ass goals. We need to like pick something to start with that is small, that you can practice consistency with, that generates what I would call a palatable amount of fear, where you can get really good at now reassure, like we did on the last call. It's like pulling out that part of you that's scared and saying to it, like, I know why you're here for me. You're so afraid. Like you can bypass the first part of that call. You can go straight to, we have already uncovered why you're here. You think my mental episodes are going to come back. And I love and appreciate the part of you that's trying to keep me from it. And like putting compassion and a ton of nurturing around that. And then for you, it's like the journaling. What are the things that I'm doing now that I know are helping avoid that situation? What are the things that I know about myself that I would see coming that probably when that happened, could have never seen it coming? It's creating safety that your brain is looking for and shutting down. And we're going to create the safety through reassurance, nurturing, and talking to ourselves. And because you're a journaler, that's amazing. Because for you, you can write about this every day. It's like when I have a very traumatic past with depression. I attempted suicide. I had postpartum. There was all kinds of issues for me from about 14 until, I'd say mid 30s. I really, had a lot going on there. And one of the things that I reassure myself on is I always tell myself, Corinne, you have examined your mental history past so much, you know your warning signs. And I do. And I really believe that. I really believe that I know when depression's happening. And that's why I'm on Wellbutrin now. I had signs coming up again. And I just told Chris, I was like, these are, it was like somebody just striking a match. Before it would almost take a brush fire for me to see it. Like when I was postpartum, it literally took like half the house was burning down before I put it out. Now, if I strike a match, I'm like I know when it's here. And so I feel really confident that whenever depression feels like it needs to come back, I'm very willing to help it. I'm very willing to see it. It's not going to sneak up on me again because I take care of myself now. So that's some of the conversations I think, whether if you, I don't know if you are in the same boat as me, but you need to create your evidence around that, your safety around it, and continue to talk to that piece of you. And I would just tell myself, and when you're ready to go after our goals, when you feel really safe to go after bigger goals, let me know. For now, we're going to set really small ones so that my nervous system barely gets triggered. So I can create resiliency around it, reassurance, and get in the habit of nurturing it versus just like, you're like in that last call I did. You're the cat that goes, we're gonna hang on for dear life.
No, that all makes sense, and it's really affirming because I like lately what I've been describing that I've been really working on is like I'm just calling it nervous system physical therapy, like where when I
Amazing.
notice myself going into shutdown mode, I actually use ChatGPT to kind of talk through, like I've trained it to help me like see what's
Yes.
in my body. So that's affirming, and I think I'll tell you, I came onto this call and I was like, okay, if I can just figure out one thing I can try, like one little thing that can be the plan, then I'll do it. And if it works, great. And if not, I promise I'll go to ask coaches. Like, does that make sense? Like, so I don't
Perfect
know
sense.
if you have time to
What
help
is,
me figure out like a little baby, like it could
you
just
tell
be
me.
planning my food because I don't, I'm not great at that. Blah! I just
Wow.
said that out loud, didn't I?
You could start there. Let's come up with two more ideas that you feel are small enough and doable enough to start.
See, you're so in my head. I'm like, Oh, that sounds like it's not enough. Well, then that means where you start. So the other one was I have like just some really simple weight exercises that my boxing coach had me do, has me do, that I've not been doing except for when I go. So I could do those 3 times a week. And so then my
Is
goal
three
is to,
times too much? I mean, I
I
want you
don't,
to really think about it.
okay, so 2 times other than when I'm with him. How about that? But I
It's
just put
fine.
that I'll
I
plan
just want
them.
what I want something that feels like you can trigger your nervous system, but not trigger it so much so that you can't do the part that is most important. It's not important that you do those exercises. What is important is that you pick something that we can tripwire your nervous system in such a manageable way that you can practice nurturing it.
Right.
That's the most important part of this exercise.
And reassuring it. That's right. Like that's kind of,
Exactly. The reassurance, the nurturing, the compassion, all of that.
Okay.
We want to figure out what is it going to take to barely tripwire you, because this is the part, it's not plan, like we're not interested in losing weight right now. Losing weight
Well,
becomes the no,
yeah.
you're
No,
not.
you're right. You're right. You're right. You're
Let me
right.
tell
You're
you
right.
why. Let me tell you why. All of you always think you're interested in losing weight. What you're really interested in is doing the work that matters to weight loss.
Yes, that's true.
Weight loss is a byproduct of this stuff. But if we
Yes.
focus on the weight loss, then we're like, I should plan every day and I need to always stop it enough. Like we start going into basics land. We don't go into the land of what stops the basics from happening seamlessly. So we work on that stuff. All of a sudden, you just feel drawn to the basics. The next thing you know, you're just doing them because there's nothing stopping them anymore. So your job is to figure out, like, what is this little small tangible thing that can get my nervous system to go, like, oh my gosh, we might fuck up, but in such a way you can talk to it. Not to where it's just like, oh my God, you picked running a fucking marathon and there's no way, like, boom, we're out.
I mean,
So,
the other day I went for like I figured out like a 2 mile walk where I do my walk run, and literally the first mile last time I walked it, not today, but the last time. Like I walked like clenched and like with my eyes closed because I was sort of in that like I was fighting shutdown mode so hard, you know, but then I was able to run back just kind of nicely the second half, you know. So I'm like, if it, but I, so that's like I felt like I was reassuring myself that even if I start off like right on the edge of shutdown mode, like okay, but then you do it and on the way home you might actually just feel like a regular slightly more like a regular person.
yes, that is a really clear, amazing example of what we're talking about.
And I normally think I would have just been so annoyed at myself for feeling like that I would, but I was like, no, this is how we feel. We're just gonna go out the door, you know?
And we know we don't now. The nice thing is we know we don't need to be annoyed because it's not there to fuck us up. It's
I know.
actually there for protection and safety. And I think that's really important. Because it's so easy for us to be mad. It's like, well, if y'all want to be mad at all this, you can, but you get to suffer when you have suffering things happening. Or we can be understanding and clear on why it's here so that we don't have to suffer while it's here. We get to actually make progress. We actually get to feel better because it's here. We get to nurture it and we get to heal it. You know, like you ever. Cut your hand open. It's amazing when it heals. Y'all kind of want to just keep a gashed wound and then, you know, let it go into sepsis. Y'all are like, bah, bah, bah. And all the time, like, where can I get some more germs to put on this?
No, that's, I mean, I my resistance, I draw like cartoons and it's the blob of nope. And it's just, it's like so cozy and just trying to keep me safe. And I know that. And, but I still get angry at it sometimes. But I do try to remember, like you were saying, like it's there to protect, it's doing its best to protect me. So,
One,
all right.
if you want an advanced thing, since you're a journaler, is you could write and talk to yourself about why does anger come in when protection mode turns on? And what is anger trying to tell me? And what does anger want me to know? because it's not a bad thing either. It's not a shameful event. This is literally like another layer of anger has an opinion about safety. Anger has an opinion about that part. And it probably wants to be heard. It probably wants you to know something really important. And then now what we're doing is we are making all feelings a part of an amazing life. We're making all feelings be like, if all feelings are always going to be along for the ride, we might as well have a damn good time with all of them.
That's a yes. Oh, well, thank you. That's okay. So I have two concrete things, and thank you, Corinne. Thank you. And just for all of it. I mean, this is having you and MJ and Kath all in my ear are it's just so such a gift. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. A question came in. I'm going to do the question, and then that's all we're going to have time for today. If we even ran late. I know we only have hour calls, and I always act like we're ending early when we run over, but I'm going to answer the question, and then I need to go because I got the next call coming. You asked, oh, this wasn't even a question. Thank you, Maureen. You asked to be reminded about the time. It's 1:40, and you wanted to end by 1:45. Okay, let's call it here because what I know is if I coach one more person, it's not going to end anytime soon. Here's what I would invite all of you to do though. Anytime you need this kind of help, you can always go to Ask Coaches. These bitches train under me. There is nothing that I do other than my attitude, as sassy as fuck, and MJ's got that they can't do. So that's number one. The second thing is I'm in the Facebook group almost every day. The only time I wasn't in the Facebook group this week was I had events at my house on Friday and Saturday, and I might have gotten in there each day, but not very long. But I try to go in there every single day. And if you tag me because you think like I need Corinne's opinion on this, I almost always get them all. Now, sometimes like thousands of you bitches are trying to tag me at once and I might miss it. If for some reason I miss it, post again or just make a comment and tag me again or send it to Ask Coaches and say, please tell Corinne I would like her opinion on it. You can always do that. All of you have access to me. You have an amazing array of coaches that I personally train. My job is to give you as many resources as possible. Please use them. Do not sit back and think you're the only one or that you don't deserve it or whatever horseshit comes up in your mind. Use them. I just want all of you to take seriously what I'm laying out for you, which is if you will let me help you, you will feel better. Your life will get better. And you will lose weight. But the currency to lose weight is to solve these things that are keeping you miserable. And that's why you keep eating. And we want to be your final stop on the weight loss train. We want to be your answer. And I want all of this for you. Okay, with that, I gotta go. I will talk to y'all later. See y'all next. Don't forget, next Sunday is the Lose 10 Pounds by January workshop. Some of the stuff that I talked about, like you've seen me coach on today, is part of the curriculum. And you'll be loving every minute of it. All right, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.